Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me today. This is your host, Brother T, and we are back on our blogtalkradio.com podcast channel, The Best Hour. And we're going to pick up lesson 66 today. So this is one of the longest lessons. It's almost two full pages in the book. So we're just going to dive right in. But before we do, let's take a good deep breath and pause for just a moment to come to center together here. Lesson 66, my happiness and my function are one. You have already noticed an emphasis throughout our recent lessons on the connection between fulfilling your function and achieving happiness. This is because you do not really see the connection. Yet there is more than just a connection between them. They are the same. Their forms are different, but their content is completely one. The ego does constant battle with the Holy Spirit on the fundamental question of what your function is. So does it do constant battle with the Holy Spirit about what your happiness is. It's not a two-way battle. The ego attacks and the Holy Spirit does not respond. He knows what your function is. He knows that it is your happiness. Today, we'll try to go past this wholly meaningless battle and arrive at the truth about your function. We will not engage in ceaseless arguments about what it is. We will not become hopelessly involved in defining happiness and determining the means for achieving it. We will not indulge the ego by listening to its attacks on truth. We will merely be glad that we can find out what truth is. Our longer practice period today has as its purpose your acceptance of the fact that not only is there a very real connection between the function God gave you and your happiness, but they are actually identical. God gives you only happiness. Therefore, the function He gave you must be happiness, even if it appears to be different. Today's exercises are an attempt to go beyond these differences in appearance and recognize a common content where it exists in truth. So begin the 10 to 15-minute practice period today by reviewing these thoughts. God gives me only happiness. He has given my function to me. Therefore, my function must be happiness. Try to see the logic in this sequence. Even if you do not yet accept the conclusion, it's only if the first two thoughts are wrong that the conclusion could be false. Let us then think about the premises for a while as we're practicing. The first premise is that God gives you only happiness. This could be false, of course, but in order to be false, it's necessary to define God as something He is not. Love cannot give evil, and what is not happiness is evil. God cannot give what He does not have, and He cannot have what He is not. Unless God gives you only happiness, He must be evil. And it is this definition of Him which you are believing if you do not accept the first premise. The second premise is that God has given you your function. We've seen that there are only two parts of your mind. One is ruled by the ego and is made up of illusions. The other is the home of the Holy Spirit, where truth abides. There are no other guides but those to choose between, and no other outcomes possible as a result of your choice but the fear which the ego always engenders and the love which the Holy Spirit always offers to replace it. Thus it must be that your function is established by God through His voice, or is made by the ego which you have made to replace Him. Which is true? Unless God gave your function to you, it must be the gift of the ego. Does the ego really have gifts to give, being itself an illusion and offering only the illusion of gifts? Think about this during the longer practice period today. Think also about the many forms which the illusion of your function has taken in your mind and the many ways in which you have tried to find salvation under the ego's guidance. Did you find it? Were you happy? Did they bring you peace? We need great honesty today. Remember the outcomes fairly and consider also whether it's ever reasonable to expect happiness from anything the ego ever proposed. Yet the ego is the only alternative to the Holy Spirit's voice. You will listen to madness or hear the truth. Try to make this choice as you think about the premises on which our conclusion rests. We can share in this conclusion, but in no other, for God Himself shares it with us. Today's idea is another giant stride in the perception of the same as the same and the different as different. On one side stand all illusions. All truth stands on the other. Let us try today to realize that only the truth is true. In the shorter practice periods, which would be most helpful today if undertaken twice an hour, this form of the application is suggested. My happiness and function are one because God has given me both. In the shorter practice period, my happiness and function are one because God has given me both. It will not take more than a minute, and probably less, to repeat these words slowly and think about them a little while you say them. My happiness and my function are one. Let's take a good deep breath and consider today's idea for just a moment in silence. So we're getting right down to it, aren't we now? You see, this curriculum, A Course in Miracles, as we begin to distill this teaching, which is hundreds and hundreds of pages, and a workbook lesson, with still 299 more lessons to go through just this year, right, is really just teaching us something that's very, very simple. So as we continue to distill this down to this basic truth, this premise, that we are as God created us to be, and that what we're experiencing is of our own making, and it is, in fact, illusory. It is an illusion. Really, as he says, nothing more than a dream. Just like this dream we had last night, when we wake up, it's over. We can't even remember it. It's like, oh yeah, I remember the dream. I remember some of it, but it's, you know, I was thinking earlier this morning when I was first waking up that, wow, my dream was really intense, and I had the thought, I'll share that with you, right? But that was several hours ago, and as I'm beginning to search my mind right now about it, I can't remember what it was now. And you know why? It doesn't matter, because it was illusion. It was a dream. It was a made-up idea of a reality that I really actually, the little sleeping self at least, believed that was totally real. And it was my life, and I was living life as a body in a dreamscape, a landscape, if you will, that offered pretty much all the same characteristics of this one. It was a world of form, a three-dimensional world. But when I woke up, it was over. I mean, I could quickly recognize its illusory nature. I could quickly recognize that it was just a dream. I could quickly recognize that no matter what happened in the dream, nobody was really getting hurt. I mean, nobody was actually even experiencing anything in reality, because it was just a story, just images that were playing out on the screen in my mind. And if I had been distressed because of some dream of terror, or whatever that might look like, if I would become lucid in the experience of the dream and recognize that I was only dreaming, I'm pretty sure that my happiness would immediately return to me, because I would know that the dream itself held no power. it was just a dream. So now we are down to making the choice, and it's the only choice we've ever made. We've always been told there's just a choice. And we're also clearly hearing in this lesson today that there are two voices. The voice of the Holy Spirit, which I will add is nothing more than your right mind, which we will be discussing in the textbook. If you've read the textbook in the Your Text version, which is the version from the, you can get that version at the jcim.net, but it's called A Course in Miracles Society. And what they did is they have published the full transcription that's describing all of the scribing that Helen Schachman received from Jesus, because as much as 25% of it had been removed, especially through the first five chapters or so in the Foundation for Inner Peace version of A Course in Miracles. That's the blue book. Nothing wrong with that. There's plenty there to digest. Plenty to digest. But one of the things that was removed was that simple statement that the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. And the reason that that's so important, that that's included in our conversation, is simply because that moves us immediately. If we can accept that truth, that moves us immediately from duality to oneness. And I can express it this way. The sleeping self at night, do we have any concern whatsoever that that's not really a part of you? It's you. It's the same mind. It's you, a part of your mind, believing itself to be all of you in an illusory dream. And it doesn't recognize the bigger part of you, but the all of you, at least the part that we think we are today, at least this bigger part of us, is well beyond the small sleeping self. Well beyond it. And when we wake up, all of our reality as a human being in a third-dimensional world comes to our awareness. And the small sleeping self isn't, you know, a self that we have any animosity for or don't like. It's just a part of us that was hoodwinked, right? Confused a little bit for a short time about what's real and what's not real. Could that be possible even now? Of course it could be. So there are two voices, the Holy Spirit, and the other one is the ego. And he calls it in this sentence, paragraph 10 says, "Thus it must be that your function is established by God through his," capital H, "his," capital V, "voice, or it is made up by the ego, which you have made to replace him," capital H, "him." We've made up the voice of the ego. We made up the ego. It's a construct, like we construct a reality when we go to sleep at night. Our mind literally continues to construct a reality, and it has no idea that we're safe at home in bed. Isn't that amazing? I mean, if you really think about it, that's if you really consider it. It's amazing that we can create a whole universe out of our imagination and for a few hours be completely hypnotized by that experience that it is, in fact, our reality. And then we wake up and say, well, no, it's not. And what would he have done is that small sleeping self has kind of replaced this bigger you. And we're not hearing the voice of this bigger you, so to speak, this personality self that we've made here in the third dimensional world as the human self. So, we made it up to replace God. To replace, we could say, the voice of God. Right? So, thus it must be that your function is established by God through his voice, or is made by the ego, which you have made to replace, capital H, him. Another way of reading that, and you can see what comes to you as you're reading it, but another way of reading that is when he says his voice, capital H, capital V, his voice, he's referring to the Holy Spirit, and we made up the ego, which we have made to replace him, capital H, him, or the Holy Spirit, which is still nothing more than your right mind. And we made up this mind, this illusory mind, and it is creating all of these forms of our function. So think also about the many forms which the illusion of your function has taken in your mind and the many ways in which you've tried to find salvation under the ego's guidance. That's the idealized self we've been talking about. The ego creates an idealized self and it says, if I can become this, if I can achieve this, if I can get this diploma, if I can marry this person, if I can have this house, if I can get this job, if I can defeat this diagnosis, if I can, it's always if, and it's always creating an idea in our mind, making up an idea, pretending, if you will, that if I could get to this, then I would be happy. But oh, by the way, it forgets to end that statement with, but seek, but do not find. Because that's the truth. And he says it very clearly here. Can you ever imagine a time? Did it bring you peace? Did you find it? Were you happy? Under the ego's guidance? Ever? Well, sure, Tony, Brother T, it was just for a few moments I was really happy. Yes. You might have experienced love for a few minutes. I sometimes have some fun with the idea that, you know, when and I've met many loves of my life. And when we meet someone new and the ego has a construct of what we are deficient in, it says, it kind of works like this. It says, I'm doing a self-evaluation and here's this idealized self, you know, but what am I missing? Well, I've got ABCD, right? But I'm missing, you know, XYZ. These are the things that if I could just do these things or find these things or get to these things, then I would be happy, right? And then we meet that other person and lo and behold, guess what? What do they represent? XYZ. They've got the things that are missing. And suddenly we give great credit and we go, oh, this is my soulmate. This is my love of my life. This person, quote unquote, completes me, right? You've heard that language. This person completes me. Okay. But maybe you're already complete. And we're listening to a voice that's a liar because it's creating an idealized self that doesn't exist. And so we get with this other person, and for a few minutes, we literally quit thinking. Have you noticed? We quit thinking and we are suddenly almost in reverence of this other person and excited about this other person. Now, obviously, I'm thinking about myself here and my own experiences, certainly when I was a much younger person. But I've been told that love can strike at any age, right? Love can strike at any age. And the point is, for a few moments, we forget ourselves, at least as far as what we kind of forget the narcissistic self. We kind of move beyond ourself, and suddenly we're inclusive of something other than self. And it's in this other person. And we see this other person, guess what? They can do almost anything, and we don't judge them for it. At least for a while. But then after a few days, or maybe a few weeks or a few months, and certainly after a few years, and we're hanging out with somebody, maybe they end up being our spouse and our significant other, whatever the case may be. Have you noticed how the judgments have become to come in? And people say, well, how come people, you know, they fall in love and they make these commitments and they make these vows and they get married, et cetera, et cetera. And then sometime later, usually around 7 years, somewhere between 4 and 7 years, the ego starts to say, well, this other person's great and all things are good and right out of her, but, you know, now I see where they're not a complete person. They need, you know, this other thing, and And, you know, but what I was wrong. I really didn't need X, Y, Z. I needed the S, T, Y, whatever. It doesn't matter. I needed something else. And so then the ego goes, well, if this person isn't making me totally happy, what will make me totally happy? And it creates another idealized image of someone else. We're going to be talking about the holy relationship, and we've actually been talking about relationship all along in our conversations about these lessons. And if you are following along with us on the weekly live streaming that we're doing in the textbook, last night we finished up the second section of the second chapter in the textbook. Next week we'll be starting on section 3. But ultimately, we're going to be talking a lot about relationship, and we're going to be talking about the two primary relationships. If there's two voices, there's the ego, and then there is the higher self, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind. There's the two voices. Both of those voices see, would you imagine, relationship completely differently. The ego sees relationships as special. It sees itself as special. And it beats itself up continuously. I beat myself up continuously would be a better way of expressing it, by simply saying, so the ego literally sees relationship, sees itself as special, and so it sees relationship as special. And I'm going to check for my... I'm sorry, guys, my volume dropped off, and I'm trying to bring it up. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Test, 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 test. All right, there we go. That brings it back temporarily. Sorry about that. So the ego sees itself as special, and and all of its relationships as special, and the Holy Spirit sees relationships as holy. Interesting, huh? Quite a change. Quite a change. Two completely different ways of seeing our world. Two completely different ways of seeing our world. And so this lesson 66, my happiness and my function are one. And we remember our function, right? Our function was to be forgiveness is my function. Forgiveness is our function. And so it begins with forgiving ourselves and forgiving our brothers and sisters. And it's about seeing our brothers and sisters in a new way. And all of those variables, if you will, that come into play between two completely different thought systems. And so here we are, with two completely different thought systems. Very, very interesting. So, with that, I'm going to stop today in our conversation, because there's much to consider, and I suggest that you read this lesson again today. Consider all of the things that he's sharing. God gives me only happiness. He's given my function to me, therefore my function must be happiness. So consider this. I hope that you can get in the 10 to 15 minute practice period and the shorter practice periods as well. And that's how we will go forth in discussion. Again, I certainly appreciate you being with me today. This is Brother T signing off for today. We'll be back tomorrow. I love you. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send my love into the heavens. And if